Imagine checking your grandmother into a cozy six-bed neighborhood care home. You know, the kind of place nestled on a quiet suburban street where the caregivers bake fresh cookies in the afternoon and, like, they know exactly how your grandmother likes her tea. It feels completely intimate.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of an institution.
Exactly. Now, imagine realizing that behind the scenes, that tiny warm house is actually being run with the ruthless financial precision, structural hierarchy, and frankly, the digital security of a Wall Street hedge fund. Today, we are looking at how those two radically different worlds collide.
It really is the ultimate collision of the heart and the spreadsheet. And, you know, it's an industry that is desperately trying to figure out how to balance the two.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're pulling apart the intricate machinery of Paramount Health Ventures, or PHV. They are a California-based organization operating right in the middle of the senior housing market. And our mission for you today is to explore how an organization successfully balances two seemingly opposing forces. Like, how do you maintain deeply compassionate, human-centered senior care while also driving rigorous, scalable financial returns for investors?
It is a phenomenal operational challenge because historically, I mean, you get one or the other. You get the massive, cold institutional facility that makes financial sense but feels like a hospital. Or, you know, you get the deeply compassionate mom-and-pop care home that just eventually goes bankrupt.
Right. And to figure out how PHV is attempting to break that cycle, we've pulled together a fascinating stack of source material. We have their extremely detailed organizational chart, specific operational excerpts from their internal strategies, and some very revealing documentation about their digital investor portal.
Which is wild, by the way.
Oh, it really is. Mm. And we also have a deep dive pitch for a new CTO role, centered around this technology vision they call a digital gestalt. So whether you are interested in real estate, healthcare, or just, you know, how to build a scalable business without losing its soul, you're going to want to stick around for this. This is a masterclass in operational design.
And to really grasp that design, we have to start by understanding the baseline philosophy of why they do what they do. You can't appreciate the architecture until you understand the gravity it's fighting against.
Yeah, because our sources highlight that PHV, which is backed by founder Joel Axson's 16 years of healthcare experience, operates on this very explicit dual mission.
Right, the two distinct goals.
Exactly. The primary mission is for the residents and families, which is providing, quote, best-in-class care in home-like communities. So we're talking dignity-centered support, meals, medication management.
The human element.
Right. But then the secondary mission is for the investors, creating scalable operations with highly accountable reporting, tracking, occupancy, P&L maturity windows. And they package this whole concept as purposeful capital. So what does this all mean?
Well,
it's like trying to build a cozy neighborhood bed and breakfast, but applying the rigorous financial compliance of Wall Street hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you keep the home-like feel from turning into just another row on a spreadsheet?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to realize that in senior care, the product is trust.
Trust?
Yes. Think about the pure math of a six-bed facility versus a 100-bed corporate facility. In a massive facility, if you have two or three vacant beds for a few months, it's a minor blip. The margins can absorb it. But in a small, intimate six-bed home, if one resident passes away or moves out, you have instantly lost roughly 16% of your top-line revenue overnight.
Wow. 16% from just one empty bed.
Exactly. And your fixed costs, like the mortgage, the heating, the round-the-clock caregivers, those stay exactly the same. That is why mom-and-pop places are so financially fragile. The margin for error is razor thin.
I see.
So if you cut corners on the care to save a few bucks, the family notices immediately. The trust evaporates. When trust evaporates, the family moves their loved one out, and you have that catastrophic empty bed. Compassion isn't just a mission statement here. It is the fundamental growth engine of the business.
Ah, so you can't hack the system by being cheap, because the humanity is literally what drives the occupancy.
Precisely. The return story for the investor is completely dependent on the care quality remaining pristine. You are financially incentivized to be compassionate.
That reframes things completely. But recognizing that philosophy is one thing,
yeah.
Actually enforcing it across multiple locations, you know, without the founder physically being in the room to make sure the cookies are baked and the meds are right, is another. How do they actually do it?
Well, that brings us to their physical architecture. And looking at the organizational chart provided in our sources, it is, it's not what you would expect for a company running small neighborhood homes.
Okay, let's unpack this, because looking at this chart, it is incredibly top heavy. When I think of a six-bed facility, I picture an owner-operator and a small rotating team of caregivers.
Right, a very flat structure.
Yeah. I don't picture a massive corporate C-suite. But they have a dedicated CEO, J.A. Nicholas R. Laxon, flanked by a chief financial officer, Mile Dorian, a chief business development officer, a chief compliance and legal officer, and a chief technology officer, Philbert John Columno Cabos-Busson.
It's a formidable corporate ladder.
And it gets even more intense. Under the C-suite, flowing down from the chief operating officer, Sharon Laxon, who notably is a registered nurse, there is this hyper-detailed care hierarchy.
It just keeps going.
It does. You have a chief human resources officer, a director of quality assurance, Nathaniel A. Laxon, head administrators like Cynthia Paggio-Palbalon, RCFE administrators, assistant administrators, house managers, caregivers, and finally, at the very bottom, the residents.
It is a massive amount of middle management.
Right. So my question is, with so many layers of bureaucracy between the COO and the resident, doesn't the company risk dehumanizing the care? Like, is this rigid structure going to crush the neighborhood feel they are trying to sell?
It's counterintuitive, but that rigid structure is actually the exact secret to making a small 6-bed facility scalable across multiple states.
Really? How so?
You see, you can't scale a business based solely on a founder's good intentions. You need a rigid chain of command for quality assurance and compliance to ensure the 13th facility runs exactly like the first. These middle managers act as structural shock absorbers.
Shock absorbers. What kind of shocks are we talking about?
Think about the day-to-day potholes of running a healthcare facility. What happens when the state health department shows up for an unannounced compliance audit? What happens when two caregivers get into an HR dispute? Or if there's a complex legal question about a new medication protocol?
In a normal mom-and-pop home, the lead caregiver has to drop everything and deal with that.
Exactly. The residents get ignored while the paperwork piles up. But in PHV's model, the shock absorbers take the hit. The head administrator handles the audit. HR handles the dispute. Legal handles the compliance. By the time you get down to the caregivers at the house level, all of that corporate friction has been absorbed.
Oh, wow. It frees the caregivers up to just focus purely on the residents.
Yes. The heavy bureaucracy actually fiercely protects the intimacy of the home.
That makes a lot of sense. The bureaucracy shields the caregivers rather than stifling them. And they are managing a very interesting type of real estate with this structure. Our sources outline a portfolio of 13 facilities right now, with capacities ranging from 6 up to 49.
It's a diverse footprint.
Yeah, they mention places like Cross Creek Care in Costa Mesa, a 10-bed home, roughly 3,400 square feet. And then there's Agate Manor in Menifee, established back in 2000. It's a 4-to-6-bed facility. Think about how different that is from a massive corporate nursing home.
It's completely different.
But a huge part of how they keep these homes filled and financially viable is tied to something called the California Assisted Living Waiver Program, or the ALW.
The ALW is a critical piece of the puzzle here. Essentially, it's a state-funded program designed to allow eligible seniors to receive necessary care in an assisted living setting, rather than being forced into a skilled nursing facility.
And navigating that program is notoriously complex, right? The red tape must be staggering.
Oh, absolutely. But what's fascinating here is how PHV essentially acts as a universal translator for this massive government program. They take the raw bureaucratic complexity of the ALW and translate it into three distinct paths for three very different audiences.
Walk me through those three paths.
First, for the families, they translate it into care access. They strip away the government jargon and provide plain language guidance on daily living support, meals, and medication, making the whole eligibility process human.
So they make it approachable for a stressed out family. What's the second path?
The second is program fit for their internal operations team. This is about managing the facility's license status, balancing staffing models, and managing the payer mix, meaning the ratio of private pay versus ALW subsidized residents.
Right, ensuring the house has the right mix so they don't burn out the staff or go broke. And the third?
The third is investor evidence. PHV connects all that localized care activity, the subsidies, the filled beds, directly to reportable outcomes for the investors. They show how ALW participation fuels revenue quality and net operating income.
The ALW isn't just bureaucratic red tape here. It's a strategic lever. It essentially guarantees a referral pipeline and a diversified payer mix, which minimizes risk.
Precisely. Everybody wins. The state saves money, the family gets a warm home, and the investor gets a de-risked revenue stream.
But that brings up a really interesting logistical challenge. We've talked about the physical care and the ALW strategy. But how does an investor who might be sitting in New York actually see the success of a 6-bed home in Menifee?
That is where we cross into the domain of the chief technology officer and where this organization shifts into a unified digital ecosystem.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Our sources detail a bold pitch for a new CTO role aimed at driving a modern, remote-led digital strategy. They are calling this philosophy a digital gestalt.
The word gestalt is perfectly chosen. In psychology, it means an organized whole that is perceived as more than the sum of its parts.
Right. So instead of PHV just being a collection of individual properties like Agate Manor and Cross Creek Care, the vision is to weave them into one connected whole. And a huge part of this proposal is scaling the investor base aggressively using SEO, social media, and this highly advanced digital investor portal.
And to prove they could do it, they built a proof of concept website prototype in just a matter of days.
Yeah, the prototype at phv.pages.dev. But I have to be honest, looking at the specs for this portal, the security measures blew my mind.
It is intense.
To even access the financial data, an investor has to pass strict identity verification. The documentation shows hints like last name, Jackson, last four of SSS 0427, password.php. And once you are inside, if the system detects no mouse movement, no scrolling, no keyboard activity for just 15 seconds, it automatically logs you out.
15 seconds of inactivity.
I mean, I have to ask, you have a company running warm, intimate 6-bed residential homes, but they are backing it up with a digital portal that has the security paranoia of a Swiss bank logging you out in 15 seconds. Why would they implement something so aggressively strict?
Well, you have to look at the investment tiers they're displaying on this portal. They show a $100,000 base allocation, a $200,000 expanded allocation, and a $300,000 maximum allocation.
Okay, so they aren't looking for casual retail investors. They are targeting serious capital.
Exactly. When you are asking someone for $300,000, you have to prove your financial compliance is flawless. Plus, the transparency tools allow investors to view the P&L, operating expenses, and distribution tracking. But they also offer downloadable PDF reports.
Right, and the tech automatically strips out any investor identifying information for privacy before generating those PDFs.
Yes. It proves that their technology is the ultimate bridge between the emotional side of elder care and the cold, hard math of investing.
It really does. But how does this digital gestalt actually enhance the Humanity First mission? Because usually when you hear about tech infiltrating elder care, people get nervous about algorithms replacing nurses.
This raises an important question about the role of a CTO in a healthcare setting. The technology is not being implemented to replace caregivers. It is there to automate the trust and drive operational efficiency.
Give me an example of what that looks like.
The digital vision includes building out robust tools for everyone. For families, imagine client-facing tools where they can seamlessly schedule visits or check basic updates through a secure website rather than calling and tying up a head administrator.
Right, reducing that administrative friction.
And internally, the CTO's vision involves tools that allow head administrators to effortlessly manage shift staffing, track ALW status, and coordinate care. By digitizing the operational efficiency and making the financials radically transparent, the care team is freed up to just focus on the residents.
The shock absorbers get even stronger.
Exactly. A remote CTO can implement repeatable, scalable systems that align with PHV's goal of expanding across multiple states without ever losing that purposeful capital return discipline.
It's a beautifully engineered machine, and it really brings us full circle to why this specific operational blueprint matters so much to you listening to this right now. We often have fallen into the trap of believing that if a business is deeply compassionate, it can't possibly scale or please investors.
It's a false dichotomy.
Right. Whether you're an entrepreneur, an investor, or someone navigating the healthcare system, PHV is a prime example of how you don't have to choose between a humanity-first mission and rigorous operational efficiency. A well-designed system, powered by a strong org chart and a smart tech ecosystem, allows both to thrive.
And if we extrapolate this model out, it leaves us with a fascinating reality to ponder. As our global population ages and the demand for senior housing absolutely skyrockets, will this model become the standard for the future?
Small, intimate homes linked by a massive tech backbone.
Exactly. Imagine a world where the house next door to you, a normal, quiet, suburban, 4-bedroom home, is actually an advanced healthcare facility. From the sidewalk, it looks like a cozy residence. But behind the walls, it is secretly backed by a massive, invisible, highly secure technology and investment backbone, generating predictable returns for an investor sitting halfway across the country.
The future of healthcare might not be a sterile hospital on a hill. It might just be the quiet house at the end of your street. That is a thought that will definitely stick with you. A huge thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. We'll be back next time to unpack another fascinating topic. Until then, take care.